for that reminder. How's that working a little better? Thank you, sir. And we're working down in that part of the world, Jeremiah and I, so we're staying in that old RV down at a campground. And I left my Bible, my Sunday school material, and everything down there last week. And when I got home Saturday and realized, where's my Bible? Where's my Sunday school lesson? Where's my briefcase? I panicked. And I had to actually trust God for something. So you got the lesson on trouble. I was having trouble last week. I was the guy in trouble, man. So this week we want to finish up. I remembered to bring it. If anybody needs, it'll be the last lesson on biblical authority. I got three or four copies up here. If you need one, we'll finish up on that about point eight. There's only 10 points. Get a couple points today. And we'll be done with that, the benefits of biblical authority. And a few verses of scripture, that sort of thing. But as we pray for us, and we work out of town, it's a struggle to be away from home 5 days a week. But we didn't have any other work, and I've either got to preach every week someplace, or I've got to work. And I love to go to work. I know what to do, and God gave us work, so I'm working. And Jeremiah needs work, and he's working. So enough said. So when we're working at our trade. We're plasterers, so we're putting outside stucco on. So that's we're at it, and we're good with that. But in your Bible, if you would turn to Romans 13, and it's kind of a basis, and it's in our lesson, for everything we want to say about biblical authority or authority in itself. And I'll be in Romans 13, 5 through 7, and I'll read that. We'll have a word of prayer. And begin our lesson here. In Romans 13:5 says, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, talking about submitting to higher powers and in social standing, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Romans 13, 5 through 7. That's about an authority. Authority should be honored and submitted to as unto the Lord. That's the lesson we get from the Word of God. And there's all kinds of authorities in life. But I want to back up with a thought. Everyone, Christians and all, in the Christian world, in the church world, in the home world, and in the work world, everyone eventually becomes someone's authority. So it's good to have a perspective on biblical authority. It's a scary thought that you're going to be somebody's boss one of these days. I'm talking to young folks. It's a scary thought that some of you older folks are somebody's boss today. That's scarier yet. Eventually, you have to take an authority role in life. And it's good to know about biblical authority. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. You cannot avoid it. It's going to happen. You have a... I don't like the term pecking order. Think of a chicken pecking. Pecking order is something we'd use for the animal kingdom. And you have it in... especially packs, like dog packs and wolf packs and... what do they call a bunch of lions? They have a name, pride, a pride of lions. There's a pecking order. Somebody ultimately is the boss in that lion thing, and it's generally the meanest, the baddest, the ugliest, most ruthless lion in the pride. So that's a pecking order. So, and we said originally God set up the authority thing. And now when you get into human beings, it shouldn't be like that. But too often it's more like an animal kingdom than it is a godly kingdom. I'm the boss because I'm going to knock you out. No, that's not how it works, especially in the ministry. When God puts a man in authority, and he does, it's a servant leadership kind of thing. He's there to serve. And he's not there to pound on his chest and make you think he's the king of the jungle or something, but so often that's it. And that's not how it is. So that's the reason to teach, because God puts men in positions, and the man might be uneducated to the level of some of the folks he has to be in authority over. And a lot of times, he may be younger than a lot of the older people in that church, but yet God sets him in an authority position in that church, not to lord over it, not to be the beast of the jungle over it, but to have that authority as a respect position where that he can minister to those folks. There's been time, I pastored 18 years. I had a doctor in the church. I had a millionaire in the church, way smarter than I ever was. When I pastored the larger church in Cincinnati and I was quite a bit younger, I was there 2 years. They finally figured out how dumb I really was and they voted me out. But anyway, I'm just kidding. We had a lawyer there. We had people that was further educated than anyone in the church. And you're thinking, what am I doing up here calling the church, the shots in the church? Or trying to be the leader in a leadership position with the authority that comes with that, where God has placed that man. And so Paul talked to Timothy about let no man despise thy youth. The first thing that comes up is a human thing. Yeah, he's too young to make a decision like that. Well, they said Peter and Paul were ignorant and unlearned men. But they could tell they had been with Jesus. There's something else going on spiritually that most people in the carnal world and carnal realm can't comprehend or discern. And so they'll make a snap decision. He's too young to know anything about that. But if he's in tune with God, he may know more than you think he knows, and you might be better off to honor and respect that position with authority, or like we used to say, you better hide and watch and see what God does. So a lot of churches, there's always an authority problem. Well, who's he think he is? Who she think she is? Call him the shots. And Homer Smith, he's dead and gone. He was the founder of Word for the World Baptist Missions, a personal friend of ours for years. Died a ripe old age of 89 or 90 years old. He was getting old. And he told me, he says, let me give you some good advice, son, back when I was pastoring, first church I ever took. He says, look, you're young. You don't know everything. You need to trust God and get a hold of God's ear and let him lead you and direct you. I don't know what to do about all the troubles and struggles in the church. He said, you'll have to step up. He's put you in that position and you'll have to lead. I said, man, I was never wired like that. I don't want to do that. He says, look, son, if you don't run it, somebody else will. And I thought, you know what? The old bird was right. Because there's always somebody bucking for authority. Somebody wants to run it. But if we go by what the Bible says, you'll stand a better chance of accomplishing what God wants you to do as a church than anything else. A church is not a business. And you'll have a lot of business people coming into the church and they'll have all kinds of business ideas. Most times business ideas do not entertain the teachings on faith. There's a fine line between real faith, I'm going to say this, and stupidity. And the man of God better know where that line is. Because there'll be somebody sitting around that'll tell him, look, I wouldn't run it like that. No, and I wouldn't run it like you would run your business either. It might be why you don't have a business anymore. But as a young man, I've lived through a lot of church counsel by older men that think they know what to do, and it supersedes the authority that God gives leadership in the church. And then when you have leadership fighting amongst themselves because they don't respect order and they have no respect for what God has called you to do, you have a problem in that church. So as teachers, we have to teach along these lines so we understand God's order in authority. And I'm not the first one to write these things or say these things. Everything I'm saying has been written on a college level for the college at West Coast Baptist College. And a lot of different schools use that same material that I'm using, written by Kerry Schmidt, Dr. Kerry Schmidt, who's a God-called preacher, pastor of a church on the East Coast. And I use his manual and his teaching. You say, why do you use it? I'll tell you why I use it. It's solid, it's biblical, and it's to the point. And then somebody say, whoa, you're just saying what somebody else says. No, I don't follow everything he says just about because he's that good. I type my own stuff, make sure it lines up with the Word of God, give you a handout, and study anything I can find. I've not only studied his things, I've studied Tom Woodward's things. He's on the East Coast also, a good leader, good pastor. I've studied Dr. Fisher's stuff out in California. He has a whole series and lectures on leadership in the church, what it is and what it's not. We've gone through Dr. Dabdu's stuff, who Jeremiah graduated from that school, and all his stuff on leadership. And all these things that we teach have been well gleaned and put together. Brother Jeff Huguet's stuff, and lined up with the Word of God. You say, why? So that we know exactly where we're at and why we teach what we teach. It's just not something that we cultish mentality teaching to somebody. It's something that is taught in the fundamental churches about authority and leadership. And you'll find as people come in from different walks of life, they'll have their opinion, their opinion, their opinion. And we want to know, how does your opinion line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, we're going to stick with the Word of God. So this morning, everyone eventually becomes someone's authority. And when you reach that point, you're going to want the respect that comes with that position. If you're a dad or a mom, you're in authority in that home, because when you begin to have children, guess what? Kids ain't running your show. You got to run the show, because that's how God set it up. And if you discipline well and you bring those children along when they get to that age where they know everything, about 13 to 16. Boy, these mashed potatoes sure got a lot of lumps in them. You better shut up. You're going to go to bed hungry. I don't want to hear about that. We had a little rule around our house with seven kids and all. If you complained about the cooking, you washed dishes for a week. Say, boy, that was terrible. Well, kind of back to that old school pecking order thing. Boy, you know, eating burnt potatoes. Boy, these potatoes are good. Oh, my goodness. That's the best I've ever had. Oh, don't go too far with that. We did. We had a little rule. We have to remind everybody. Now what? Do I hear a complaint from the other end of the table? Somebody says, well, I don't like peas. Do I hear a complaint down there? I hear the dishes jingling. I washed dishes for a week. And around our house, there was plenty of dishes to wash. Amen. Wasn't until after they all left. We purchased a nice Kenmore dishwasher. So, but you have a position of authority as a mom or a dad and those kids. And if you let those kids rule the roost, they'll rule you. And they'll drive you nuts, dingbat. You won't know what ends up. And yet when you get that, you want respect as a dad or a mom. Well, that same thing works in the home. It works in the church. The same thing. That pastor deserves respect. You come up and say, hey, Tom. What? How about pastor? How about brother? If you can't call him your pastor, call him brother. Say, what is that? That's a respect that comes with that position. Yet in this church, I hear it all the time. Oh, what Tom's going to do? He just will get a little, blah, blah, blah. Come on, man. Give him a little respect. You know, just give him a little respect. And one another, and I'll be on that in a minute. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Authority comes and goes. You reach a position in your life where you have authority over somebody, something. You may reach a status in your work where you're the boss. You may be a business owner and you're the boss. And you would like the respect that comes with that position. Amen? And everybody knows, that knows anything about leadership and people, if you don't have respect from your people that have to work under you, you will not be able to do a good job. They can cause you headache after headache after headache. Or you've had an employee where you've had to tell them, look, you've got this position, that position, you have to do that, you need to do that, and they won't ever do it. And you're like, I don't know what to do with them. They just will not do it. Yeah, ultimately, if you're in that position, you'll pink slip them. And you say, look, we can't use you anymore here. You won't do what you're told. You have no respect for authority. You follow what I'm saying? And they'll say, you got to hit the road. And some people, they have no respect for authority. They're not going to fit in the workplace. They're not going to have a good home or a good family. You say, why? Because they're an authority unto themselves, an icon unto themselves. They're going to do what they want to do, do what they feel like they think is right. And they don't care what anybody else says. They're definitely not a team player. They may say they're a team player, but they do not respect authority, and they're going to have trouble all their life. Now, church is the same way. It's a team. You got a pastor, two officers in the church, pastors. You got three or four preachers here, pastors. And you've got a deacon or a couple deacons. And that's the two officers in the church that God gives any authority to. But when people disdain authority and do not respect those positions, and I'm not talking about bowing down and praising the guy, because he's supposed to be a servant leader, but it's our responsibility as human beings that understand and discern the Word of God and understand the Word of God to give that respect where that respect's due. And it shows up in all kinds of things. And I know in a church you have old people, young people, older people, you have sick people, crippled people, afflicted people, and they're going to, you know, it's going to be Sunday morning, I expect the hodgepodge, because Sunday morning is the crowd. It's not the core. You understand what I'm saying? And the core should be grounded in biblical authority and respect. The crowd is not going to be grounded in biblical authority because they're coming in from the world, and we want them to come in. We want them to come in. We want them to come as they are, if you please, that crowd. You say, why? Get a chance to preach to them and minister to them because they probably need to be saved. So I'm not talking about the crowd. I'm talking about the core group of membership. When you become a member of a church, you should be willing to subscribe to the leadership of the church, to the authority that's set in order by the Word of God, and then you should execute your responsibility toward that leadership. So if you're a member of a church and you come dragging in, talking bad about everybody and doing this and doing that, waltzing in when you want to, doing this, making disturbances in the church, I have issues with you. You say, why? Because you're not discerning what church is about, or you don't care what church is about. Does that make sense? So as a leader, you know, I may have to write you off because you're not executing responsibilities of a good Christian. I don't want you to affect that new convert who's trying to learn how to be a good Christian. I don't want them confused that what you're doing is right. That's why every mature Christian needs to act in an appropriate manner, show respect to authorities that are in position. And on the flip of that thing, I think those that are in authority ought to execute their responsibilities like a true servant leader. Amen. So everybody's kind of on a learning curve. You say, why? That we might conduct ourselves well and in order and without confusion and sending the wrong signal. The Scriptures clearly teach that God is not the author of confusion. And if you've got this group doing that and that group doing that, another group back there, oh, just don't know what it is. But that's what you have in most churches. So a pastor finds himself trying to appease that group, and that group, and he's got to do something to pull them together. Anything. Our approach is to teach the Word of God and lay it out as simply and clearly as we can. But I know other churches, they're not going to do that because it takes time to study, to write, to print handouts. So they're going to have a big dinner on the ground, fellowship, and get everybody together. Say, why? Because they got problems in the church. They're going to have a big singing, get everybody clapping and jumping and hollering. But that doesn't take care of the issues. Everybody's good and smiling and laughing for it. Oh, we'll have that comedian group in and let them make us all laugh and we'll all be one big family, one big... That's not going to settle the issue. Now, I'm for all that stuff. But don't think that that stuff is going to replace the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Because it will not fortify your soul. It'll make you feel good for the moment. Kumbaya, Chuck E. Cheese. But when the wind blows and the storms come, you're going to need a foundation to stand on. Thank you, Brother Steve. You're going to need a foundation to stand on. You need to look around. Who's the leader? We're following him, or we're following somebody back in the corner there that's disgruntled with everything that's going on. So you've heard the term cliques in a church. I'm describing cliques in the church. You'll have somebody back here that's in charge of about three or four families. And somebody over here in charge of a couple of families. Somebody over here, and it's a power struggle. Well, we just don't like what the preacher's doing. Let's get together and we'll just have a few. Watch out. That stuff's all through the Word of God and what happens when that starts happening. Moses, Korah, and Abiram. Janus and Jambres. And all that. So, why do we teach on authority from the Word of God? We are different by design. We shouldn't act like the world. We shouldn't act like the workplace. We shouldn't act like most people's homes. We should act like the Word of God tells us to. Authority should be honored and submitted to as unto the Lord. And a Christian ought to honor Romans chapter 13. We just read it. The Scriptures say in Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work. That's the child of God. He says also in your syllabus, I put it down, 1 Peter 2:13 and 7:8. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may but put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." God calls those that don't live under the authority of the state, the authority of the statutes that God set up, the authority of the family, the authority of the church, the authority of the home. Then he calls them in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17, foolish men, and goes on to say, "As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness." Somebody's going to come, "Well, I'm free. I can do what I want to do." Not if it's making some new convert stumble. "But as the servants of God, honor all men." There's an honor to all men. "Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king." That engulfs it all. God makes it clear that he commands us to honor and submit to authority. To honor means to value or make weighty. Honoring or obeying are two vastly different things. Now get this, if you don't get anything else. Honoring and obeying are two vastly different things. If you're a young person in here, you can obey your parents without honoring them. But after all, you've got to eat mashed potatoes. But you cannot honor without obeying. Because when you honor someone, you obey them. But you can obey somebody and not honor them. And plenty of wives obeyed their husbands, but they did not honor them. For all young folks and old alike, the choices are basic. Three basic responses of people to authority. Outward, number one, outward obedience with inward dishonor. Below, I'll obey. They ain't getting no respect from me. Say, what is that? Outward obedience with inward dishonor. Rebellion. Secondly, I said there are three basic responses that a people will have to authority. Number two, outward obedience with inward honor. Now that's good. You obey because you honor that position of authority. Nothing like having a good kid that says, "Well, I'm going to obey my dad and mom because, man, they're the best people I know. He's my dad. He's my mom. I'm going to do what the preacher says because, man, he's my pastor." And I told Brother Tom a long time ago, I have no problem calling you pastor. I said, because I learned a long time ago, and I mean this carefully. It's not how smart a guy is, how intellectual a guy is. If the guy is called of God, and God puts him in that position, it is your responsibility and duty as another Christian to honor that authority. So to me, cousin Brother Tom is my pastor. And I honor that position. So when he says, "Brother Phil, can you preach tonight?" I say, "I'm just as tired as you are. We're the same age. You keep telling people you're older than me. And I'm sick just like you are. You're the one getting paid for the job. Why don't you preach?" I said, "Pastor, I'll be glad to preach for you. You take it easy." Say, why? Because I honor that position. Amen. Thirdly, I said there are three things. Thirdly, outward defiance with inward rebellion. That's the worst of all scenarios. I'm late. There's hundreds of folks in the vestibule. You folks are always welcome to come in. But when somebody outwardly disobeys and shows forth their inner rebellion, that's a person that doesn't know anything about godly honor and godly authority. And they'll cause you problems. They'll always be in opposition to anything you say. They'll always say, I'm the guy, you ought to listen to me. Or they'll never have a solution to the supposed problem that they bring forth. Hence, they're not helping the situation. They're always hurting the situation. You say, why? Because they just got to be heard and they just got to be seen. You say, what is that? That's someone that don't discern proper authority. They're either not saved or don't care, one of the two, because they don't have the same spirit that a saved person has. Lastly, and I'm done, authority should be appreciated, encouraged, and supported in prayer. And someday everyone will bow before Christ's authority. And he hath this on his vesture, the Lord, when he returns. On his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:16. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You may not be able to bow to him today, but one of these days you'll have to bow to him. That's authority, man. God set that thing up, and we need to learn how to live by that and be careful when we want to stand up in opposition against the leadership that God has put here basically in the church, in the home, or in the family, or in the workplace. In the workplace. If you got a boss you don't like, hey, you better not be too disgruntled with your wages, according to the Word of God. And you better do your work as unto the Lord. Say why? It's honoring that position. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. This concludes our lesson. And I pray, God, that it's suit a blessing to us. We'd learn by it. But not only that, Lord, that people's hearts would be soft and knit and content with what your word says and embrace it and love it and love thee more because of it. Bless now our service as we continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and good morning.